Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren today for the sermon titled, What Might Have Been. And our scripture lesson today comes from Romans 5, the first 11 verses. You know, yesterday I found out my toaster wasn't waterproof. Man, I was shocked. You know, a while back, I couldn't figure out whether someone was waving at me or the person behind me. In other news, I lost my part-time job as a lifeguard. You gotta think about that one for a minute. My buddy came to breakfast with me the other day, and he was looking a little put out. I said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" He goes, "Every morning on my way out to get in my car, I get hit by this kid on a bicycle. Every morning." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yep, it's a vicious cycle." Walking down the street this week, I saw a sign in a window that said, "Repairs here, repairs made here." And so I stood and watched for 30 minutes and nothing happened. You have to think about that one too. All right. Finally, Wendy's mad at me. It wasn't my fault. I was following instructions. She said, "Put ketchup on the shopping list." Now she can't read it. That's how you get out of grocery shopping, by the way. Romans chapter 5 for the sermon title, What Might Have Been. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, before a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May God add His power and strength and spirit to those words we've heard. Let them come through our heart. Let us join together in prayer as we seek this message. Father, we thank You. We ask that as we sit here this morning, we are filled up to the brim, that we are strengthened, that we are made whole, that we hear the words and thoughts and ramblings that I have, that You have coalesced, that You have given as a message. Let it strengthen us, Father. Let it take us through this week yet to come. Let us know You. Let us be prepared. Let us realize that sitting here on a Sunday morning is about getting recharged, being reminded, being lifted, Father. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. These words do we put in our heart and seek Him out. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of His children said, Amen. What might have been? You know, at my house, ever since the boys was maybe, 16, 18 months old, ever since they've been old enough, we've had a swimming pool. Now, we started out with the little plastic thing that you pour a couple gallons of water in, and they get in and they flop around. And then we got one that was, I don't know, it was about this tall, and they got in it. And what we would do is they would play and carry on, and I would sit in the pool, and they would pour water all over me or Wendy, and they'd splash and carry on. And ooh, ha, ha, it was a lot of fun. And then they got to where they could swim. And so we went to a little bit bigger size, and they outgrew that. And then we got our current pool, which is a 24-foot, a 52-inch deep pool, holds just shy of 14,000 gallons of water. Now, in my life, growing up, whenever I would ask my dad or my folks, can we get a swimming pool? Well, that's a lot of work, and it's a luxury, and we just don't have... Go swim in the creek. Yeah, but Dad, the creek's only a foot and a half deep. Well, make it work. Okay, all right. Or go swim in one of the ponds. Oh, you mean the same ponds that the cows are walking around in right now? That's where you want me? Remember that snapping turtle I pulled out last week that you told me I had to take back? That's where you want me to go swim? Glad you love me so much, Dad. I just want to swim in safety. But we got a pool. And on them hot days, on them miserable days, there is nothing like just flopping around in that thing and just relaxing. Wash all the cares away. Calgon, or whatever that commercial was. And that's going back a couple of years, ain't it? Calgon, take me away. That's what I say to the swimming pool. Take me away. Remember that statement. I have often said, I cannot imagine my existence on this planet without a swimming pool. For as long as I can, we're going to have one. Now, my pool, I put up myself. I built it myself. And let me tell you something. If you ever get a chance and someone says to you, hey, so-and-so, hey, I'm going to be putting up this swimming pool we got. Would you like to come help? Hit them. You know, right? Not real hard. Just kind of bang them on the head a little bit. Because you don't want to be a part of that. I put it up alone. My boys came to help me toward the end. And not only that, but I was fool enough that when the liner wore out 7 years ago, I put the second liner in alone. I ain't doing that no more. So we started talking about, and we had some maintenance to do. And this past Wednesday evening, Wendy and I were swimming in it, having fun, and I was splashing water on her, and she was telling me to stop, and I was splashing water, and she said, I'll drown you, and I was splashing water, and she said, why did I marry you? Typical evening. We went to bed. On Thursday morning, I get a phone call from Wally saying, Dad, quick, look at your phone. Okay, I thought he had found a tractor or something such that he wanted to buy, and I was going to get all excited because after work, we were going to go home and look at another toy. No, he sent me a picture that during the night, Wednesday night or early Thursday morning, as that storm finally hit us and dumped buckets of water on, our pool burst open and went away. It opened up on one side and dumped 14,000 gallons of water down over my aunt's yard and out into the road. Gone. We ain't got no pool no more. Oh, we've got a monument to it in the yard. It's all wrinkled up, and I've been talking with some people about how we're going to get it replaced because Paul ain't going to be without no pool. I mean, when I start sweating, the other day I was in a building and somebody said, we had the air conditioner on. I said, well, put another log on it because apparently it's not working. I got to have a swimming pool. What might have been? What happened is the inside of the wall, unbeknownst to us, was rusted. It was rusted to the point where you can poke your finger right through it. And the amount of water and the sudden overflow of it was just enough that it was weak enough it just gave out. But we put water in that thing all the time. And we get in there and we splash around. It got me to thinking, what would have happened if we'd have been in it when it let go? It'd have been no stopping me. Now, Wendy's a little smaller than me, in case you've never taken notice of that. Actually, she's a lot smaller than me. I could have wound up sliding on my backside down Route 40 with cars blowing their horns at me. Ain't funny. Well, it actually is a little funny. Gone! gallons of water. That water was so powerful. I have a scraper blade for a tractor. Heavy thing. It moved it out of the way. It shoved our outdoor containers that we had around the pool for holding chemicals and pillows and other stuff. It sent them into parts unknown. I still don't know how the one got where it was. It bent over trees. It moved a trailer in the yard and almost upset a stack of lumber. What might have been, what if we would have been in it? And it got me to thinking, what might have been? What would have happened? How many times have you been in a situation where something happened and you went, wow, well, what might have been if I'd have been this? What if I was just there. I just came through that. I just was in that store. I just was in that intersection. I just, what might have been had I been in that situation? And it got me to thinking about it because unfortunately that's how it works for me. What might this world have been if Jesus had decided he wasn't coming? What might have been our state had Jesus said, I will not give up my life to save you? What might have been, brothers and sisters, of you right now if there were no Christ? Do you ever think about that for just 2 seconds? No, you don't. Nobody does. Not unless you're, as I was called this morning coming in, an oddball. Thank you, Troy. I can't help but wonder of the many, many things that have happened in my life. The time I upset a farm tractor, 13 years old, and laid one over it, and no little one. And I walked away from it. Got a couple scratches. The countless vehicle accidents that each one of us have been in, from a fender bender to something that was major. From suddenly being rushed to the hospital only to find out that the pain was not something that was going to be life-altering. What might have been our current status if Jesus Christ had left us continue to be an enemy to God? This past week, I listened to a pastor, and I wrote his name down and forgot to bring it. But this past week, I listened to a pastor talk about how to talk about the Bible, about Jesus, about God, about salvation, about the Holy Spirit. And when he fired up, I said, I'm going to listen to this. Because this guy sounds like I'm going to have something to debate, and I had nothing. He said, first of all, don't you ever take this book for granted. Okay. Got my attention. I am ears forward now. He said, this world today needs to be reminded that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Amen? You do understand that, right? And I know we talk about it at Easter, and I know we think about it, and I know we sing songs about it. But do we think on it? Do we wonder what might have been had he not got on that tree? The man, the most perfect individual, the most perfect creation of all times, sinless, blameless, the Son of God at the right hand in heaven since the beginning of this mud ball. He had everything. And when God saw what was needed, I'll go. And he went. And you, and you, and you, and me are saved. Saved from what, Paul? Saved from ourselves is what we're saved from. Make no mistake about that. Right here in Romans 5, as a matter of fact, if you had been here this morning, those of you on YouTube I'm talking to right now, and that's just another invitation, make sure you're here. I never talk to Linda. Well, I have to every now and then, but she doesn't like me to talk to her very much, so I stay away from her. But Linda picks out the music. Linda picks out the singing. She picks out the call to worship. And I have no input on it. Remember me? I accidentally put ketchup on the grocery list. I'm going to read you this. Just in case you were just going through it or listening to it in monotone. Our call to worship this morning under the sermon title, What Might Have Been. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This is from Hebrews chapter 12 and from 1 Peter chapter 1. Who for the joy... Now, a lot of people don't understand that word. For the joy set before him. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he considered it a joy to save us. Set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What might have been? What might have been? Had he said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going down there. I'm not going to have them Romans beat me half to death. I'm not going to have the skin tore from my flesh. I'm not going to have my bones exposed. I'm not going to be beat so bad that the minute they lay that robe on me, by all rights and purposes, by all known ways of being, the minute that robe touches my body, Father, after they have beat me, I should die instantly because my body is nothing but one big nerve. I'm not doing that. And yet Paul, writing his letter to the Romans, reminds us Jesus Christ did that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Go down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time. At just the right time. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, us. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to dwell on those words for a moment. We have been justified by his blood. We are saved. We are saved from that thing that we're not supposed to talk about, God's wrath. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God is an all-knowing, all-everything being. Yes, God loves us more than anything you can imagine. The Bible has said it. If he allows the beauty of the flowers in the field, how much more does he love us? How much? He sent Jesus to die for us. Because the day is coming, make no mistake, maybe today, I don't know, maybe tomorrow, I don't know, but the day is coming when it's going to end. Christ is going to come back and gather us all up and we're out. And what's going to left be behind is going to be God's wrath. And yet, what might have been, for us who believe, for us who have hope, for us who love, for us who have that faith, what might have been will never be. Will never be. We won't see it. We won't know it. We have been saved even when we were still sinners, even when we were still powerless, even when, as it says in verse 10, for if we were God's enemies, can you imagine that? Being labeled as an enemy of God. That is not the person I want to upset. And believe you me, I did it once. Which is why I'm here. Can you imagine what might have been had I decided not to? And I'm not just talking about being here. I'm talking about my life in general. After the second time. No, I'm not doing it. When we were God's enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. We are saved. We are saved. What might have been never will be. Yes, we should think about it. Why? Why, Paul? Why do we need to dwell on that? I'll tell you why, brothers and sisters. Because there's plenty of people out there who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ yet. They do not understand. They have not been exposed. They don't have a clue. And the only chance that they might have for the contact with everlasting life, with the salvation, with the hope, the glory, the faith, and comfort of knowing is you. You could be what changes their life from what might have been to what never will be. You. Chuck Colson, in his book, The Body, published this little excerpt. 1963, 65% of Americans said they believed in the absolute truth of the Bible. But by 1978, that had declined to 38%. In 1992, the figure was 32% and has not risen much today. The question is, what do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ when things are hard, when things are tough, when things are tight? Or do you believe in Jesus Christ, period? When it's good, when it's bad. When it's bad, when it's good. Do you accept the fact that even though you're at this season in life where everything seems fine and you're just a moment away from destruction, you know what destruction is, right? Sliding through your aunt's yard out onto the road. Do you believe, period? Charles Spurgeon said, "I would recommend that either you believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, every letter of it, or else fully reject it. There is no logical standing between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the depths of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about at the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry land faith, which is not good for much." Believe in it. Remind yourself what might have been. Then remind yourself of what is. And then remind yourself of what won't be. I know that ain't proper English. I don't care. I just want you to understand that you are a saved child of the Most High, that God Almighty sent Jesus to die for us, and that there are those people out there that are waiting to hear or see or be a part of that word. And it ain't got to be some big flowery speech. I've told you what to say. Do you know my Jesus? In John 14, and I read this a lot, to help give comfort to families when we're doing that moment. But in John 14, 1, it starts off, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you." What might have been had he not? Yet the beautiful thing is, we don't have to think about it. We don't really have to dwell in it. All we have to do is remind ourselves daily of what might have been and be thankful for what is. I know we say these words, and I know that everybody gets taught these words from the moment you can form them. But they are the reason we don't have to think about anything else. We just have to turn our eyes on Jesus. We just have to fix ourselves on Him. We just have to accept who He is, what He did. Because, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not, shall not, won't not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a beautiful thing to me. When I stand looking at that dilapidated swimming pool out there in the yard, and I think about what might have been, I have to chuckle, because it didn't. Because I'm protected. Even over something as insanely simple as that. God looked down and said, get out of the pool. Get out now. Something's coming. Get out. I got you. And I stood looking at it and said, it could have been worse. I also stood looking at things thinking how wonderful it is to be loved and protected by God, by Jesus. Billy Sunday said in his sermon, Wonderful, there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond what any name, any phrase, any thought, or anything could ever express. When I look at Jesus Christ, when I think of him, I think of what might have been, won't be, ain't not gonna be, and because of him, I am saved. And I tell my friends the same thing. And when I look at you, and I don't necessarily see you guys on the other side of the camera, but hi, when I look at you, I think, what might have been, ain't not gonna be, not now, not ever. Because what might have been is gone. What is that you are saved by the love, salvation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Are we blessed? I think so. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have poured into us so much love, and it is kept alive by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that your Son died for us. We thank you that what might have been never will be. Father, just continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us in all these things that we need. We will fix our eyes upon you. We will steadfast our faith. We will maintain that you are our Savior, and we will tell the world about it. We will not hide that light so that others can say, well, what might have been ain't going to be. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. If you have not done so, if you are in need of, if you have not come to know Jesus yet, the bench up here is open. And if you're on the other side of that camera and you haven't known him, if you're just seeing this for the first time, if you're out there wandering around the internet and you stumbled upon my ramblings, reach out and get to know Jesus Christ so that you're what might have been will be a never will. May God bless each and every one of you.